Ha-chow! Padded Room Podcast / Pool Party.
Yeah.
My name is Darian. I'm here to please you. His name is Buddy. He's here to tease you.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, dude? It's just me and you this week.
Yeah.
No Monica.
Let the
farting and the burping begin.
Yeah.
No ladies in the house.
Yeah, we could be ourselves now.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Huh?
Monica is in absentia this week, and hopefully a tanning bed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just me. It's the me and Buddy show this week.
Yeah,
Buddy, what's up with you this week, dude?
A lot of work.
Yeah. Working hard, are you?
Yes,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good
put
for
in
you.
Over 50 hours this week.
That's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah, about 14 hours just yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Do you normally work on Saturdays or no?
Once a month, but not that long. Usually just 6 hours. But they were doing some maintenance, and it took a lot longer than expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not. I don't appreciate it.
No.
I'm not into it. I don't do Saturdays.
Yeah.
Or Sundays.
Or Mondays. Tuesday, any day with a Y. Really?
I mean, really, I don't do a whole lot of anything. So I got that going for me. Right on. Had Deacon's official second birthday yesterday. Deacon's my son. He just turned 2. Went to the water park, the splash zone.
Mm-hmm.
Made a little discovery. Water park's a lot of fun unless it's windy out.
Oh yeah.
If it's windy, you go to the water park, you get wet, and then you immediately freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
If it's windy.
Yeah, stay in the water.
It doesn't matter how hot it is. If the wind's blowing, you start to dry off, and then you freeze.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Me too.
That sucks, man.
Oh hell yeah.
It was supposed to be like 95 yesterday. Turned out it was like 70-something and windy.
Oh, that's the worst.
And we rented the whole park.
Mm.
Motherfucker.
Man.
Well, kids had fun anyway.
That's good.
I made a pretty good show of not getting wet. Like, put my feet in for a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
That was about as far as I went.
You didn't go crazy?
No, man. It's freezing out. Windy? Forget it.
Kids are making you look bad.
Splash the kids a little bit. And then they get out, and they're freezing to death, so I got to meet them up there with a towel. You know? All right, bring it in, kids. Bring it in. Have a hot dog.
Don't get too close.
Yeah, beautiful. So that was my rip-roaring, exciting weekend right there. Man, when you're 2 years old, it's almost impossible for people not to spoil you.
Yeah.
Because when you're birthday shopping for a two-year-old, it's like $5 for this action figure. Oh, I'll just get them 10 of them then.
Right?
No. So everybody shows up with presents for this little fart, like backing them in on flatbed trucks and stuff.
Need a bedroom just for the presents.
Now, my whole house, I can't get anywhere in my own house because it's just fucking toys laying all over the goddamn place. Tripping over stuff, banging my shins into things.
Nice.
God. Bullshit. What I'm going to do is wait till he's asleep and then start quietly throwing him over. Over the fence into the valley there.
Yeah.
He'll never know. You know, he's got so many of these goddamn things.
Right.
Just fire him right over the fence. And like a year from now, he's going to be like, oh, where's my pink ball? I don't know. All right. That's enough of us and our horse shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the regular show here, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Got lots of things to talk about this week. A movie or two. Some listener correspondence. The horror news. All the usual shenanigans. Started off with some horror news.
Yes!
Horror news. All right, buddy, what do you got?
All right, so I have a Saw Legacy 8 is coming sooner than we think. Production dates are set for September 12th to October 21st this year.
That's when they're going to start filming.
Yes.
You ready for another Saw movie?
I'm curious to see how they're going to tie this in.
Let's be honest. Like, the last three, not so good. Actually, I was a big fan of Part 5 for some reason. 7, real bad.
Yeah.
I think one and two are the best. 3 and 4 were kind of silly, but they were like simultaneous, so mm-hmm. that was cool.
Right.
I'm into it. I'm a Saw guy.
Yeah, I'll check
it out anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Hope it's not in 3D or some shit. Some kind of stupid gimmick to go with it.
Was it 7?
I think the last one was 3D. Yeah.
All right, and I got Kiefer Sutherland's going to join the cast in the remake of Flatliners.
I'm psyched for that.
As a seasoned doctor. If they use his name, Nelson Wright, from the original, this could turn out to be some sort of sequel.
I'm into it. I like that.
So I would rather, I don't want a sequel. I'd rather a remake.
I think I would take a sequel in that,
really?
In that regard, yeah.
Hmm.
Have you seen Flatliners?
Oh, yeah.
Great show.
Yeah, it
Kevin
really is.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Oliver, what old horny pants there, nailing chicks and mm-hmm. videotaping it?
Yep.
I saw that as like a 13-year-old. And I'm like, I got to get myself a camera.
That's right.
I know what I'm going to be doing in my mid to late 20s.
Let the filming begin.
Yes, sir. I'm into it. I think I would rather do the sequel thing, since Kiefer Sutherland's going to already part of the cast.
Right.
It's going to be kind of weird if he's there and he's not like playing his original character.
Well, they do a lot of that with cameos.
I know, but most of the time it just pisses me off.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's not. They haven't chosen which way they're going to go.
Okay.
Yet.
I'm into it either way. I like that movie.
Lost Boy fans. Corey Feldman wants to be in Lost Boys 4.
Yeah.
He is, however, against a reboot, especially ones with an all-female cast.
I saw that. From what I read, the original sequel to The Lost Boys was going to be The Lost Girls. And it was going to be...
Oh, man.
But that was supposed to happen like 3 years after the original Lost Boys took
place. Oh, right.
This film. So that would have been more timely.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, what, 22 years later?
Yeah.
I'm not into it myself. And I'm not into this whole reboot with the changing of the genders.
Right.
I have no problem with women, coming into these franchises and stuff like that. Just make it a sequel.
Right.
Just make it a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Although I'm kind of tired of the Lost Boys with just Corey Feldman in it.
I'm tired of Edgar Frog, to be honest with you. Have you seen those last two movies?
Yeah,
They're terrible.
Yeah. So he was asked about a Frog Brothers television series, and he says, if it was going to be possible, he says, quote, "I think that's where my mind's eye is." So whatever that
is.
Oh, means.
Okay there, Feldman.
Yeah.
Your mind's eye.
His mind's
It's in your fucking wallet is what it is. And you'll do whatever they tell you to do, you punk ass.
Although I'd be kind of down for a TV series of that.
I don't know how I feel. Like, I feel like on paper, the Frog Brothers are pretty cool. You know, these two kids and they run around killing vampires.
Need new Frog Brothers.
But that's the problem. Then you see them in that last couple of Lost Boys movies.
Yeah.
And that fucking Feldman doing that Mr. T impression that he does throughout mm-hmm. the entire, it gets pretty stale pretty quick.
Yeah, it does.
You got to stake the bloodsuckers in the heart. That's it. That's like his whole shtick right there.
Yeah.
I'm not into it, dude. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
There's no depth to those characters.
No.
That I didn't care for them all that much in the original Lost Boys. You know,
oh, right.
I thought it was cool, you know, these two kids running a comic book shop and slaying vampires.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to see an hour and a half of that.
No.
What I want is an hour and a half of gothed up Kiefer Sutherland nailing chicks. And, you know, trying to turn other dudes into gothed up vampires, I guess, on the boardwalk. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got. So what do you got?
Oh, let's see what we got here. I had the Saw thing. I had the Kiefer Sutherland thing. Child's Play, it looks like, is getting a limited edition Scream Factory Blu-ray release.
Yeah,
slated for October 18th of this year.
I'm down for that.
Here's the thing, man. Child's Play, Chucky as a franchise. I may be sacrilegious here, horror fans. Bear with me. But Seed of Chucky. come on now. What are you doing here? I don't know what... you know, it didn't really occur to me just how bad those movies were until I rewatched them for guest spots on the Resurrection of Zombie 7 podcast. Oh, yeah. And I was like, this... part one is decent. After that, it goes straight to dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a death in part two where he beats a lady to death with a ruler. Dare I say physically impossible for a grown man to do that, let alone a doll.
Hmm.
I say nay to the Child's Play.
Death by ruler.
I mean, they're only doing the Scream Factory thing for part one, Child's Play.
Right.
So maybe I'll check that one out because that one's not as bad. But really, I think that one got a lot more mileage out of the shit-talking from Chucky than it should have. Because, I mean, really, after part one, you're just watching it because Brad Dourif has got some funny one-liners, and he's this shit-talking, cutesy, good guy doll.
Yeah.
That's just my, I don't, whatever. Whatever whatever you want to do there, inmates.
Mm-hmm.
American Horror Story Season 6 is going to be debuting a little early this year.
Sweet.
Inmates, the debut has been pushed up to September 14th. Still nothing concrete on the actual plot synopsis or who's going to be in it other than Lady Gaga.
Nothing yet, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
There was some talk about a Slender Man situation happening or some other crap. I don't know.
Weird. Okay.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how they're going to tie this one in.
Yeah.
Because they've been tying them all together, which is pretty sweet. I'm into that.
I wonder how many seasons they're going
to
do.
I think this is supposed to be the last.
Oh.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. You never know with these fucking things.
Right.
Lastly, Evil Dead 2, the board game, is now live on Kickstarter.
Oh,
so I went ahead and let my debit card do the walking and put a few dollars that direction. I'm on kind of a board game kick all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Ever since the Mixtape Massacre, hell, I'm like all about playing board games.
Nice.
I just need one that I can play by myself. You know what I mean? Because my friends tend to piss me off and my wife usually isn't in the mood, as with a lot of things. That's all I got on the horror news there, buddy. All
right.
You got anything else?
No, that's
it. All right. Let's get into some listener mail then.
Hell yeah.
Listener mail.
I feel like everything in this room is falling apart.
Right.
All right, let's start it off with Lonely Bob, coming all the way from Tokyo, Japan. All
right.
It's Kevin is in the house. Let me get set up for the Terradome here.
What's going on, Kevin?
Who's in the house? Kevin's in the house. Subject line, votes. Predator versus Creature from the Black Lagoon. In probably an unpopular vote, I'll vote for Creature from the Black Lagoon. Since he can hide underwater like Arnold, then pop up and grab the Predator and drown it.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I mean, it is possible, I suppose. Yeah, big dog fart in here. Home Invaders versus Silent Hill Nurses. My vote goes to the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Agree with Monica. Outcast is pretty great show so far. Curious to see what Data is up to. The mystery man in the black top hat. Kevin at Lonely Bob. I'm assuming that Data from Star Trek is in that show.
Oh.
I think that's what he meant. I don't know. I haven't seen that show yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Brent Spiner is the actor.
Oh.
Maybe he's in the Outcast. I don't know.
Very cool.
Very cool, Kevin. I'm going to check that out one of these days.
Yeah, me too.
Looks like Sean's up next from right here in Reno, Nevada.
What's going on, Sean?
Subject line, this week's stuff. I'll keep it short this week. For singles, I definitely take Predator over the Creature from the Black Lagoon. This one's shaping up to be a lot closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And for teams, Home Invaders have no chance against the Silent Hill Nurses. That one is not as close as I thought it would
no.
be. Honeymoon was a pretty decent enough movie, but it's not one I feel like I'll ever watch again. As for Monica, I'm sure I'll be kicking myself when I hear what the answer is, but as of right now, I have no idea. That's it for me. Sean. Yeah, I don't know either.
And yeah.
Since Monica's not here to...
Gives everybody to another week to think about
think
it.
Think about that for another week.
Yeah.
I have no idea what she is. I rarely have any idea what she is.
Yeah,
to be
me
honest
too.
With you. Other people start guessing and I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with what he said. Next, we got Tim coming in. Sydney, Australia. Subject line, Terradome and stuff. Hey, guys. Terradome, singles, I'll take the Predator, and teams, I'll take the Nurses.
All right.
Okay, that's two more for the Predator. Two more for the Nurses. Immersion therapy. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of this. I'll admit it had me interested, but the fucking husband was a loser, and I couldn't stop wishing for him to die. Catch you next time. Tim. I liked it. Honeymoon.
Yeah.
Very suspenseful.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Rose Leslie. If you want to see her naked, check out Game of Thrones. Season 5, I think it was.
Oh, she's in that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Kreese coming up next. Subject line. Quickly. Nurses and Predators for the Terradome. And that's it for Kreese.
That's quickly.
That's about as quick as it's going to get. Very cool. That's it for the emails. See what we got on the voicemail front. Hopefully this works this week, because last week we had a lot of fucking problems with the voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never know, though, because I'm an editing genius.
That's right.
Started off with GPZ. Here we go.
GP.
Hey, GP. I just heard Sarah's voicemail. I feel the need to... This probably be a regular feature.
Okay.
I still need to clarify what she said a little bit.
I don't think so.
The one thing she said about the movie test, I told her, she asked me what the movie was. I told her it was Mind Games.
Right.
I even spelled it out first so she didn't think I thought Mind Games.
All right.
And then when the opening credit starts, that comes up and it's like The Evil Within. She's like, huh, what the heck? It just totally threw her off. And it said on the, you said Evil Within in the end credits too. So she, that kind of like messed her up a little bit, so she was upset about that. The thing about the house where
the
had no history of murder, that is because of the one English guy, douchebag, Lex, kept on like making this big fucking deal about how scary it is. Now he's not going to go into a cabin because he's coming. And I'm looking at that cabin. I'm seeing this beautiful cabin in this nice location in the woods.
Still a cabin in the woods,
and
though.
It's like, you're afraid of this? And both me and Sarah were like, what was there to be afraid of? I've seen, like, more dilapidated houses that are cheery than, you know, I'd go into before I'd be afraid of. And it just totally fucking ridiculous. I mean, trying to get you to scare you with something, and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And she did have a great point about the generator, because they're like, what's that noise? I mean, I forget what that fuck happened, but they didn't hear the generator when they went in the first place. None of the lights go out. Then they come out, and then they hear the generator, like, hiccuping or whatever. Like, you didn't hear that when you went in? Well, whatever. You know what? No, I think I got enough time. also, her, like, point about 25 minutes. The kids today, they have no patience.
Oh, I'm with her on that
She's
one.
She's just like her mother that way, too.
Whoa!
So, you gotta forgive her a little bit. Not, you know, just letting the story, like, develop a little bit before the action starts. I had, like, two points that Darian made was one of the English guys. I think that was the guy's cousin. That's how they explained that fucking thing.
Yeah, but still.
I fucking give the rest. You know what? next week, Sarah is actually going to be headed out into your neck of the woods. It's like a Girl Scout trip. They're going to Las Vegas.
The hell kind of Girl Scout is that?
Wow. Troop leaders than for them, but... While she's there, you know, I'm expecting max protection from you guys. I mean, if she's anywhere in that area, I want you to lock down everything. You know, I'm counting on you. And I'll get back to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Vegas is another country from us.
Yeah. GP texted me earlier in the week. He's like, how far away from Vegas are you? about 10 hours. He's like, well, Sarah's there. Case of a terror attack or zombie outbreak, you can go get her, right? And I was like, yeah, I'll go get her. Okay, a couple things real quick here, GP. Number one, I want you to know on a personal note, I'm very honored, and it's a rare thing in which whole families get involved in these fucking podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for turning your daughter onto us. Number two, you don't have to call and apologize for her. She's... has some very educated, you know, what am I looking for? Opinions
uh-huh.
in regards to these movies. And to be honest with you, she comes across as a seasoned veteran of these things.
Yeah.
In regards to Mind Games, I got what she was saying. It's I think they were trying to be clever with the title.
Yeah.
Mind Games versus Mind Games.
Right.
Oh, you're very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why she'd be upset about that. What else did he say? The Englishman, the
cousins,
the cabin in the woods. It's still a cabin in the woods, Jeepeasy. You know what I'm saying? I got married in a cabin in the woods, a fairly nice one too.
Oh.
But the night before I got married, Dr. Dale and I had to spend the night out there in the cabin,
and
we heard there was some shit.
Oh yeah,
I mean, like we heard like things underneath the cabin and stuff out in the woods. It was a nice place too.
Was this a bachelor party with you guys?
With
you two?
Well, there was other people there to begin with, but he and I were the only ones that stayed over. So I get that point. Very cool, GPZ. Let's see who's up next here on the voicemail line.
Yeah.
Do-do-do. I believe this to be Alan.
Padded hey, Room, now. How's it going?
What's up, Alan?
I got Gimme Predator and the Nurses and Terror Dome. Monica's Question of the Episode. That's hard. It almost sounds like a bounty hunter or hitman or something.
Mm-hmm.
Really can't think of anything for it, so that's all I got. Y'all have a good one.
Very cool.
Bye.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
I was leaning towards Pumpkinhead on that.
East to West.
East to West is a thing.
Yeah.
And he started off in the Appalachians. I don't know where that fucking franchise went.
Yeah.
I was leaning towards Pumpkinhead. I'm sure I'm wrong, though. Alrighty. And GPZ called back. Or this might be Sarah. Who knows? We're 2 for 2 on the voicemails.
Woo-hoo.
Can we close it out?
Survey says.
Hey. So as far as I know, my Sarah is still tooling around in your part of the country.
As far as you know.
Her crap phone like took a crap on her.
Uh-oh.
So I haven't heard from her for a couple days.
Do I need to head down
last
there?
I heard she was tooling around Grand Canyon. Hope she didn't fall in.
Me too.
But if she did, I'd be put out a little bit, you know?
Me too.
So that's the update on Sarah.
Okay.
Let's see, Terror Dome. Predator versus the creature from... Predator's going to fillet the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's
I agree.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Silent Hill Nurses versus...
Home Invaders.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
You're going to be that guy?
Silent Hill Nurses are sound activated, and at their statues until they hear something, they start... slicing and dicing towards that area.
That's true.
No, yeah.
One of the main tools in a home invader's tool bag is stealth.
Because
if you're a noisy home invader, you're not going to be a home invader for long. You're going to have a fucking shotgun hole in your pump.
Got a point.
So I'm gonna give the advantage to the home invaders with the stealth, and that's that.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. Urgent therapy, honeymoon. If somebody could fill me in on what the fuck happened, I'd be greatly appreciated. I have no idea. I think it was like an alien thing.
I was
a body snatcher thing. I have no fuck. All I know is that I may not have sex with my wife.
I'll have sex with her if you don't want to.
Jared, you're live and you hear this. Don't tell mommy because she's going to be pissed at me. That's all I got. I'll talk to you later. Sarah, I hope you're still alive.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sarah, if you're out there, call your dad. He sounds worried.
Be safe.
And give us a call, too. We're worried about you, too.
Yeah.
If you did, in fact, fall into the Grand Canyon, I can be there probably in about 8 hours on the motorcycle, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know how far away that fucking thing is. I don't know. Very cool, GPZ. Thanks for calling in again. Sarah, get back to us next week. We miss you. And I think your dad does, too. That's all we got on the voicemails the emails, buddy. Do you have anything for GP, Alan, Kreese, Sean, or anybody else?
Thanks for calling and writing in.
Beautiful. You guys are locked in with the Terror Dome. We're ready to go on that. I think it's time for a movie, though.
Mr. Murphy, I'm Jack. Jack Farrington. I fly the Arctic Weather Patrol. Last month, I was out in the middle of the strait when I came across this.
Congratulations. You found a boat in the middle of the ocean.
What do you think a ship like this could be worth?
Depends on if we have the right to salvage it.
I do know one thing. Sea gives you an opportunity, you take it.
Well, Murph, I think you should get up here.
It's an ocean liner.
It's the Antonia Grasa.
Any sign of what might have happened?
Nothing. No passengers. No crew. No captain. No mention of anything in the ship's log. What do you make of that?
A ghost ship.
I think I saw something I couldn't possibly have seen. I think I saw a little girl.
This isn't real.
We're all trapped here. I want to show you something.
I told you guys earlier if there was something seriously wrong with this boat, haunted, possessed, whatever you want to call it.
I said we get our boat going, then get the hell out of here.
We have got to get off this boat now.
Bon voyage.
Woo, ghost ship. You ever been on a boat, buddy?
Not a cruise ship, no.
Not a cruise ship? Yeah. Any kind of boat?
Charter.
What is that? Like a fishing boat?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was deployed on an LPD for 6 months. It's about the size of a strip mall. Whole battalion of
Holy
Marines on
moly.
There. Yeah. Zero privacy. Try beating off in there. Just not happening. It's just not even going to happen. No. Forget about it. Find something else to do with your time and your right hand. Talking about Ghost Ship from 2002, starring Juliana Margulies, Gabriel Byrne, and Desmond Harrington. Directed by Steve Deck, written by Mark Hanlon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The return of Desmond Harrington to the Padded Room podcast.
That's right.
I like this guy.
Me too.
Handsome devil, this one. Mm-hmm. Circa 15 years ago, he was a handsome devil. I don't know what he looks like now. This is the third installment from Dark Castle. The second one was 13 Ghosts. We skipped that one because Miss Monica wanted to be in on it. Mm-hmm. She's not here, so we jumped right to Ghost Ship.
Yeah.
Pretty good times. This one starts off out in the ocean in 1962,
mm-hmm.
and we're on a big ocean cruise liner, cruise ship called the Antonia Grasa.
Right.
And this is a pretty gnarly opening sequence right here, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like it's the captain's ball, which means everybody goes and dances out on the deck there. A loose cable basically just bisects everybody.
Yeah.
Like shears off some holding pins or whatever they are and just whips across the dance floor,
mm-hmm.
cuts everybody in half except for one little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff, dude. That's nasty.
Yeah.
I don't want to get cut in half.
No.
I don't want to get cut at all. Really.
Right?
No. But if I had to get cut in half, I'd rather it just decapitate me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that'd be quicker.
Mm-hmm.
If I get cut in half, like at the waist,
right.
then I'm going to probably hang.
Or the jaw.
Jaw would probably be pretty quick, too.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because what you want to do, I think, is separate blood flow to the brain.
Uh-huh.
But if your heart and your brain are still in the same section, you're gonna live for a little while. And that's going to suck.
Yeah, yeah.
You would crawl around looking at your own asshole. You know what I mean?
Your ankles got sliced.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to live just fine.
Yeah.
Except now you got no feet on this fucking boat. Fuck that. Pretty cool opening sequence.
Mm-hmm. Really is.
Then we cut to modern day, and we've got a boat salvage crew.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there. They got their little tugboat called the Arctic Warrior. I didn't know this, but apparently tugboats are basically the tow trucks of the ocean.
Yeah.
That sound right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about tugboats.
Me either.
This one seemed pretty small, though.
It is.
I guess there's like a powerful engine in there. And what these people do is they go out in there and find like wrecks and ships that have been abandoned, and then they tow it back in and they get salvage rights.
Yeah.
Scrap metal, anything on board, it's all theirs.
I don't know how the hell they tow it.
Because that's a small boat, right? Yeah. I guess it's this big engine is the only thing I could think of.
Must be.
I don't know. But they're, yeah, they're towing in like oil rigs and things like that, and they're, I guess, making a comfortable living off of it. Hmm. We meet the crew of this little tugboat. It's five or six people. You got the captain, a guy by the name of Murphy, played by Gabriel Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
You got his second, a young lady named Epps, played by Juliana Margulies.
Yeah.
Is she supposed to be like a supermodel or something? I feel like that's a name that comes up a lot when we're talking about hot chicks.
I don't know.
She didn't strike me as being all that attractive.
No, me either.
I mean, I get it. You're working on a sea salvage crew. You're probably, pretty butch. But I don't know. She just didn't strike me as being all that attractive. Maybe they just butched her up for this movie. I don't know how that works.
I guess she was a teacher and a dancer.
Okay. Maybe she knows how to got some sexy dance moves or something. Yeah. I don't know what she's doing. You got her. You got Dodge and Munder, I think was his name. Mulder. Played by
Munder.
Carl Urban and the other guy. You got your token black guy. His name is Greer.
Yeah.
And then you got your token Latino. His name is Santos.
Santos.
And that's your crew right there. We get a quick little...
And Dodge.
Yeah, I said Dodge.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I don't remember who played Dodge.
Ron Eldard?
Yeah, that dude. Actually, I recognized him. He pops up in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a token white guy.
Yeah. Well, so is Greer. He plays in a lot, too.
Does he? I didn't recognize
Isaiah him. Washington. I didn't recognize him. I was like, he looks familiar. And then I realized, oh, it's Isaiah Washington.
What else has he been in that we might know?
We might know Romeo Must Die, True Crime, Out of Sight, The 100, Vice Versa, and the list goes on and on.
Okay. Sound like a lot of action movies.
Yeah.
Right on. That's your crew. We get a quick little action sequence here. And they're trying to salvage some kind of a sinking oil thingy operation.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's sinking fast, and they're about to lose it, but they have to either cut it loose or it's going to sink their ship or fix it.
And they're really pushing on cutting it loose.
Yeah, because apparently it's a lot of money. I don't know how this shit works. But the Captain Murphy is like, cut it loose, cut it loose.
Mm-hmm.
And Epps is like, no, we can save it. So she zip lines over to the sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Dodge and Munder. And then they dive underneath. Well, they dive down some kind of a shaft and weld something on there. And then apparently save the day.
Yeah.
So that's pretty intense.
Kept it from sinking.
Anything that involves zip lining, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I don't know about it in the ocean, though.
I mean,
she cut her life cord off of there and just started welding underneath.
Because she's hardcore, buddy. She is a dude. Serious she's basically kahunas. A dude is what she is.
Yeah.
She's the action star of this little show.
Uh-huh.
Scary stuff. All right. Very cool. That's what's happening. They managed to save that. Then they get back to port and they're, I guess, celebrating, and they've got a mm-hmm. big bag of cash and they're having a drink at a bar. And everybody's pretty happy about that. They get approached by another dude, and his name is Jack Ferryman.
Yeah.
All right.
Ferryman.
I see what you're doing there. It's a play on the Greek mythos of the guy that ferries your soul across the river Styx.
Right.
You know, you probably fooled all the little kiddies, but you didn't get one past me, sons of bitches. I know what's going on
not
here.
This time.
Played by Desmond Harrington. He comes up and he's like, hey, I got a business opportunity for you people.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pretty well-to-do salvage crew, and that's exciting, and I've got something that I think needs salvaging. I am a weather pilot, and I was flying around out on the ocean, and I spotted this big fucking boat just kind of adrift out there. And he's got, like, satellite pictures and stuff like that, and that's very cool. And he shows them, and they're like, holy crap, that's a big fucking boat.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I did, like, a flyby. There's nobody on the radio, and then I reported it to the Coast Guard, and they didn't seem to give a shit, so now it's just out there, and it's probably worth some money. If you guys want to cut me in on this little endeavor, then I'll be happy to show you where it is.
Yeah, I just want 20%.
20%, and they go back and forth haggling about this. And then one of his, one of the things that he demands is that he gets to go on the salvage mission. This sound like another movie to you?
It does.
Which one?
I have no clue.
Event Horizon.
Yes.
Pretty
yes.
much. Except on the ocean.
Right.
Which is fine. I get it. It's not a, it's a good, they're both good shows. So they go back and forth and they're like arguing about it. And then they agree finally to let him go on the salvage mission. And I think they had the, estimated worth of the boat was like a couple million just in scrap metal and right. stuff like that. So they set sail on their tugboat and they get out there in the open water and, everybody's having a dandy of a time shaving heads and making sandwiches and stuff. And then they come across the actual Antonia Grassa, actually run into it because it's like
appearing, disappearing.
Yeah. It's like blipping in and out of the radar,
yeah.
which is pretty cool. And then, it's of course there's a fog bank out there. So they basically just smash right into it.
Yep.
Everybody's fine though. So that's good. They get aboard the Antonia Grassa that night, and they're poking around. And it looks like it's been adrift for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all rusted out. And, you know, it's like you would envision a ghost, an abandoned cruise ship, I suppose.
Right.
Because it's all rusted out, and everything's like, it looks like it was glamorous at one point, mm-hmm. but now it's all fucked up and nasty. They're cruising down one of the hallways. It's they wouldn't let ferrymen go on board, and Santos and Greer stayed on the Arctic Warrior with them. Everybody else is on the Grassa.
Mm-hmm.
The Murphy, Dodge, and Munder and Epps are like walking down a hallway. Munder falls through the floor, and apparently they were right above like the ballroom or whatever.
Yeah.
As he falls through, everybody's like, oh, shit, grab him. And he doesn't fall all the way through, but he's kind of dangling
halfway
there for a
through.
Second.
Yeah.
Epps like sticks her head through the floor, and when she's trying to help Munder up, she spots a little girl down mm-hmm. on the staircase. Yeah, that's scary stuff. There shouldn't be anything alive on this ship after 40 years. But she spots her. She gets Munder up. Then she pokes her head down again, and of course, the little girl's gone.
Yeah, the little girl from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, scary stuff. The one that survived the bisection at the, yeah. on the dance floor, which is a great dance hit from the 70s, bisection on the dance floor. all right, pretty cool. Scary stuff. They get back onto the tugboat there, and they kind of, you know, tell everybody what's going on. Very exciting. Lots of money to be made here. The next day, mm-hmm. they get up, and they need to get a better assessment of the damage to the Antonia Grassa. And before that, though, the Captain Murphy tells them the story of the Mary Celeste, which was another boat that was found adrift with no crew, I guess, in, yeah. during the Civil War or something like that. There was actually a movie made about the Mary Celeste called Phantom Ship,
oh.
starred Bela Lugosi.
Hmm.
It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Hmm. Very cool. That's what's happening. Next morning we get up, we got to assess the damage to the Antonia Grassa. We got a scuba set up, so we go underneath and start looking at the
yeah.
the hull of the ship. We find out there's a giant hole down there,
mm-hmm.
and the Grassa is slowly sinking. And also, it's in some kind of a weird ocean current situation where it's like being pushed towards this chain of islands. And apparently, if it gets close enough to the chain of islands, it's just going to smash apart on the rocks.
Hmm.
That surround this island chain, whatever it is. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Not really, but if we want to get paid for this endeavor, then we got to get this fucking thing fixed.
Yeah.
And get it to wherever they... Wait, I don't know. Where were these people?
I have no clue.
Get it somewhere other than out there.
Yeah.
Drift is what we got to do.
Just get that money.
So we have like a quick planning process where we decide that what we're going to do is weld the hole shut and then start pumping water out through one of the air shafts all the way down the side of the ship and then back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. First thing we got to do is clear all the cabins and the chambers that would allow for the pump to go through. So basically, in a pretty silly move, we have to split up and go check out the inside of this ship. I wouldn't go for that myself.
No.
I would just fix what needed to be fixed and
tow. Get the hell out of there.
How the fuck is that little boat going to tow
right?
a giant? Whatever. I don't know. I suppose there's some physics involved that I don't understand. So they're in there and they're walking around the ship. First thing that happens is I think... what's her name? Epps kind of gets separated, and she gets like sporadic. Like she's in the swimming pool area, and she's climbing up the ladder, and she notices a bunch of bullet holes in the pool, which is kind of creepy. But then as she's climbing up the ladder, she sees the little girl again, so she like gets a jump scare and falls back into the pool and hits her head.
Did you recognize that little girl?
Yeah, The Uninvited, I think she was in.
Yeah, was Sucker that? Punch, Baby Doll.
Oh, yeah, that one too. Yeah. She grew up to be
a hottie.
A little bit of a right there.
Yeah.
To see her in a bikini. Pretty good stuff. And then as she's leaving the pool, all the bullet holes start spewing blood, but she doesn't notice because she's on her way out. Fills the pool up with blood, and then we see dead bodies floating in the blood. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. What else do we got? We got Greer and the captain are kind of poking around. They come across the captain's quarters there on the Graça. Apparently, there's some kind of a code of conduct in which nobody can enter the captain's quarters ever except another captain from another ship. So yeah. Murphy won't let Greer go into the captain's quarters. Also, I'd like to point out that Murphy is wearing an ascot. I never understood the ascots. What is that?
No clue.
I've got a random piece of cloth here. I better tie it around my neck.
Yeah.
Why? What is that? Is that a fashion statement? It looks ridiculous.
Maybe.
Take that thing off. You're not Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Is that what captains wear or something?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think they do. Anyway, he goes into the captain's quarters and he starts poking around. He finds an open bottle of scotch and a glass already poured.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, buddy, but I'm not putting anything I find on that ship in my mouth. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's been floating around for 40 years.
Not an open container.
Not anything. Nothing's going in my mouth. Yuck. Nasty. I don't know, man. I kind of got the feeling that Murphy may have been an alcoholic at one point because he's kind of eyeing the scotch, but he won't do it. But then he's kind of like getting nervous about it. Eventually, he like starts looking in one of the mirrors, and for a split second, he looks up and he sees the captain of the Antonia Graça instead of himself. Freaks him right out. Whoa, fuck.
Hell yeah.
Shit. Freaked me out, too.
Right?
He's like, oh, shit. And then he goes stumbling out of there. We see Dodge and Munder there in the engine room. We find out that the engine room of the Graça is flooded, and that's pretty nasty. Apparently, when the tugboat collided with the Graça, it did some kind of engine damage to the tugboat also. Right. So Santos is back on the tugboat, the Arctic Warrior, trying to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what's happening. At one point, Epps and Ferryman kind of hook up, and they start walking around, and they come across the cargo hold.
Mm-hmm.
Epps is like, hey, dude, we don't have time to be fucking around in the cargo hold. We got to get these holes fixed. But Ferryman is like very much interested in the cargo hold. He's like, oh, look at this car. Oh, come here.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, quit dragging your asshole. We got to get moving. And he's like, I know. Just look at this car for a second. And then he takes her to another room in the cargo hold where there's just bags of old cash,
mm-hmm.
old Italian cash, I think, too,
yeah.
laying around. And she's like, hey, there's a bunch of cash in here. She's like, great. It doesn't probably not worth anything. But then there's a couple of boxes. They open the boxes. They're filled with gold bars.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, scary stuff. Well, not really. I'm pretty excited now if I'm on part of this crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit, there's a bunch of goddamn gold bars in here. They grab a couple, and then they reconvene with the captain, and then we kind of have this big meeting there on the Graça. Hey, there is a shit ton of gold on this ship, and we need to... we should probably just take the fucking gold.
Forget
the
out.
Ship. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
They put it to a quick vote. Everybody's like, yeah, I think they estimated the gold worth at like $100 million apiece or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Fuck this boat, dude. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it right now. I'm out of here. I'll fill my pockets up with gold and be on my way. I'll swim if I have to. I don't know if I can swim.
Not with that
gold.
Yeah. How heavy that would be.
Pockets. Yeah. I'll sink like a fucking rock. So that's the plan. We're just going to leave the ship, grab the gold, be on our merry way.
Mm-hmm.
Easy enough. We get all the gold loaded. No, we don't. We start loading up the gold onto the Arctic Warrior there. We got to get the engine fixed on the Arctic Warrior mm-hmm. first. So Santos is working around the clock on that. So is Greer's kind of up in the engine room of the Arctic Warrior.
Yeah.
Santos thinks he gets it fixed. He likes to talk dirty to the engine, which I thought was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Eventually, he's like, oh, mamacita, we're ready to roll. And then he radios up to Greer to start the engine. But right before he does, we see like a propane cylinder being slowly unscrewed.
By itself?
By itself. Bad business. And then Greer starts the engine and kaboom, blows up the Arctic Warrior. Kills Santos on the spot. I guess they got Greer to safety because fast forward about 18 seconds and he's now on the Antonio Grasso.
And the girl was warning Epps.
Yeah, up on the deck, Epps was making her way to the tugboat and the girl's like, no, tell him not to start the kaboom.
Boom.
And then that was it.
Huge explosion.
Yep. Well, fuck. Now, just like Event Horizon, we are now marooned on the ghost ship.
Yep.
Or the Event Horizon spaceship, whatever you want to do. Very cool. Scary stuff. So now we're kind of fucked, and the way the ocean current is moving this ship is very close to being smashed apart.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have a quick sidebar here in the, I guess it was the ballroom, and now tempers are flaring. Greer punches Munder because he said something, and he's like, oh, I didn't care for that. Murphy just kind of starts pacing around nervously, and we got to come up with something. Really, at this point, Epps is the one running the show because she's the only one with a clear head. She's like, hey, well, this ship here is slowly sinking. So what we got to do is hopefully patch that hole first,
mm-hmm.
hopefully get the engine running, and fire it up and get us out of this ocean current so we don't smash into those fucking rocks.
Right.
We'll deal with whatever comes next after that. At this point, everybody's kind of pissed off, though, and nobody really wants to take any direction, so they all just kind of separate, which I thought was kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always what happens. Murphy goes back to the captain's quarters and starts drinking. Greer, having just punched Munder, just kind of walks off. He goes to a separate bar, ballroom area and starts drinking. Again, I'm not ingesting anything on this ship. Fuck you.
If it was sealed, I might.
I don't know about that. I'd have to be pretty goddamn hungry or really, really wanting to get drunk. Munder and Dodge go back to the engine room. Or I think they went to the galley, found a bunch of like tin food cans and stuff like that. And then they go down to the engine room and they're like daring each other to eat the stuff.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, all over the place. Epps just kind of goes back up into the main cabins. I think she was trying to find that little girl again to find out what the hell her deal was.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are bouncing between Greer and Captain Murphy. Captain Murphy is getting hammered, and of course the captain of the Antonia Grassa shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the Antonia Grassa was an Italian vessel because nobody spoke any English.
Right.
It's all we're all in Italian from here on out, except for the little girl. Okay. Scary stuff. And then we cut back to Greer, who's getting hammered in the main ballroom.
Yeah.
This, I think, was probably the coolest part of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's hammered. we've gotten kind of these inlaid flashbacks from the captain's ball there right before everybody got cut in half. And what we saw, it was like a, I guess you'd call it like a lounge act.
Yeah.
It was a young lady singing, and everybody was dancing to the song that was being played and that she was singing. What was her name? Francesca. And she's smoking hot, and she's wearing a red dress, and now we're seeing her like show up again periodically.
It's her real name, too.
Is it Francesca?
Yeah.
I wonder if she speaks English.
I was looking at some of the films that she did. They're all
different. Italian?
Yeah.
She's screaming hot. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now she just kind of shows up out of nowhere, and she's still wearing the red dress, and she's still crazy hot.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is basically the ballroom just kind of rebuild itself right there on the spot. All the decay and rust goes away. Everything gets returned to its natural grandeur, and a crowd just kind of shows up out of nowhere and starts applauding. Greer's standing in the middle of this going, oh, I'm fucking drunk, and I'm going to cheat on my girlfriend probably with this dead bitch. All right, doesn't really count if she's dead, so whatever.
Right.
Yuck. And then, you know, everybody's applauding. And then Francesca comes down from the stage and basically starts making out with Greer.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. And then we cut back to Captain Murphy in the captain's quarters. And he's also getting drunk with the captain of the Antonia Grassa. There's kind of like a half-assed conversation happening here because the captain of the Grassa is only speaking Italian, and Murphy's trying to like piece together what he's saying.
Right.
Basically, what we're finding out through this dialogue is that a couple of days before the Antonia Grassa went missing, it rescued another vessel called the Lorelei. And the Lorelei was sinking. There was no survivors except for one. They managed to save the one guy and get a lot of the stuff out of the cargo hold from the Lorelei onto the Antonia Grassa. That's where all the cash and gold bullion came from.
Right.
Very exciting. And then, in a particularly bizarre twist, the captain of the Grassa shows Captain Murphy a picture of the one survivor.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see who it was just yet.
Right.
But we see Murphy's face when he sees the picture, and he's like, oh, fuck. And then we cut back to Greer on the dance floor. Greer is getting all hot, and apparently while we were talking to the captains, the ballroom went back to being all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was just in Greer's head or what exactly was going on there, but he's like now pursuing Francesca, and she's slowly undressing.
Yeah. As
she's leading him through the different cabins and stuff. Pretty nice rack on her, I'll tell you. Tell you that right now, buddy.
Nice body on her. Whew. And that red dress, ooh.
For a dead chick, I'm into it. She takes him to one spot, and now she's like totally naked, and he goes to grab her and then falls through an elevator shaft and
goes through her because he doesn't even grab her.
Like, yeah.
Goes right through
you
her.
You can't be trying to get rapey with ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't even know how sex with a ghost would work.
Right.
Especially if it's against their will. You can't roofie a ghost, buddy, is what I'm telling you.
No.
I tried. It didn't work. Yeah, so he falls through the elevator shaft and pretty much impales himself.
Mm-hmm.
Greer is now out of the equation. Scary stuff. Now we cut back to Epps.
Right before that.
What?
She turns into like that demon.
Oh, yeah. She gets all corpsified.
Yeah.
There. She goes back to like zombie, naked zombie mode. Kind of reminded me of the chick in the bathtub from The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nasty. Don't want to have sex with her anymore.
Nope.
That right now. Scratching you off my list there, Francesca.
Boner just went away.
Nope. That's a killer. Deal breaker, as they say.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we cut back to Epps. She's going through the cabins trying to get some info on the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually comes to what was the little girl's cabin. Finds the little girl. Finds the little girl's dead body, too. She's hanging in a closet. Finds a locket on the dead body's neck and pops it open, and there's a picture of her parents. Goes mm-hmm. to leave the cabin, and then that's when the little girl actually pops up. I think her name was Claire, was it?
Katie.
Katie was her name. Katie's like, hey, don't close that locket. I like looking at my parents. I haven't seen them in like 50 years.
Right.
And then we get this a little conversation there between Katie and Epps. Katie basically says that there's somebody or something on board that is collecting souls. And once he meets his quota or has enough souls, then the boat sails to, I guess, hell or the other side or whatever.
Yeah.
It didn't really specify. But there's somebody or something on board that's doing that. And somehow she like found an escape clause because she didn't have a weird mark on her hand. Whenever the soul collector gets you, he like grabs your hand and then puts a mark on it, like a weird, almost look like a question mark.
Right.
And that means that he's got your soul, I guess, and you have to be on board there and atone for your sins. But whoever it is, they don't like Katie talking about it because as Katie's running through the story, like the walls start spider webbing.
Yeah.
And Katie starts freaking out. She's like, oh, fucking shit. He knows I'm here and he knows I'm talking to you. Fuck this. And then she disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. About this time, we cut back to Dodge and Munder. They're daring each other to eat these weird canned foods. We get a little Lost Boys moment here where they're like, oh, yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, here, try some of this.
Yeah.
And then eventually they realize they're eating maggots and worms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ah, pleh, nasty.
Yeah.
Bad business. Yuck. Okay. A lot of screaming and yelling. One thing that as Epps is making her way back down to try to find everybody to tell them what she just saw. She comes across some kind of a, I think it was like a laundry room or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
It's basically flooded, and she's like, oh, shit, I got to get out of here. So she goes to open one of the hatches to hopefully get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And when she opens the hatch, the whole laundry room floods, and a bunch of dead bodies come out.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's where you put the dead bodies. If they die at sea, you put them in the laundry chute.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, sure. Just get them out of here. Fuck, they're going to start stinking. She's like, oh, God damn it. But then once the water clears and she starts looking at the dead bodies, she realizes that they're all wearing fairly recent styles of clothing.
Yeah.
And they're not that. They're only dead a couple of weeks or so, mm-hmm. I think she said. So, looks like somebody else got here before we did. They just didn't fare too well.
No.
Bad business. Mm-hmm. Gets down to where I think she reconnects with Dodge and Munder, and that's it, really, because everybody else is still doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hooks up with them. She's like, hey, kids, this being mad at each other thing isn't really working because this fucker is sinking, and we got to fix it.
Right.
So back to plan A. Patch up the holes on the bottom, pump out the water, get the engine running, hopefully, and we can at least not get smashed up on the rocks for now.
Right.
Is the plan. We should also mention that they brought a bunch of C4 with them.
Yeah.
I was wondering what the point of that was, but it comes into play later. It looks right. like there is something you could use C4 on when you're trying to salvage stuff. Okay, very interesting.
I'd use it to escape.
Well, that's yeah. very convenient that they had that C4. okay, very cool. That's the game plan. We get the scuba gear on, and we get down there, and we start welding on the holes in the ship, get mm-hmm. those all patched up. We run the pump down there and start pumping the water out. That's pretty cool. I don't think we ever saw... We found the Captain Murphy's dead body, but we never really saw how he died.
Right.
I don't think so. It was very strange. Whatever. Anyway, that's what's happening. About this time, Katie starts ramping up things. She's like trying to get a hold of Epps and get her alone. At one point, she finally gets Epps alone, and she's like, hey, come with me. I want to show you something. And she just kind of touches her on the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and we get a very cool flashback.
Very cool.
/ music video, but it was still pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what we're seeing is what happened to everybody on the Antonio Grazza. Basically, they brought all the money and gold on board from the Lorelei, and then at some point, somebody found out about it, got the word out to everybody else, and then like the kitchen crew or the janitorial staff just said, fuck it, we're taking it. We're going to have to kill all 600 people on the Antonio Grazza because they're all going to be witnesses.
Right.
They got a couple people in on it to include Francesca.
Mm-hmm.
You always need, if you're going to have a heist, you got to have one hot chick.
That's right.
It's just standard operating procedure, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to rob a bank. We got to get,
Marilyn Monroe.
We got to go down to the strip club and pick up a stripper who's coming with us. Francesca's in on it. Basically, they start off by poisoning everybody with rat poison. And then that takes care of a good chunk of them. And then we had one of the engineers loosen some lag bolts, which caused that weird cable malfunction that cut everybody in half.
Mm-hmm.
That takes care of another good chunk of them. And then whoever survived that basically just got rounded up, taken down to the swimming pool, and firing squatted.
Right.
So that's what happened. And then we had like a crew of like 10 or 12 waiters and busboys that were engineering this whole thing. They get in there, they get into the cargo hold, they're bringing out all the cash and money, and then one waiter is like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to keep everything. So he turns around and just wastes everybody with a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm the man now, I got all the money. But then he turns around and Francesca shoots him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck my ass.
Yeah.
And then we see another guy come out, give Francesca a quick kiss on the cheek. Or no, he made out with her for a few minutes. And then like this weird hook just came down from the ceiling and caught Francesca right in the neck and jaw.
Yeah.
Cow! And then she's like swinging from this hook by her jaw. And then the guy turns and looks at Epps and Katie, and we see it's Desmond Harrington.
Right.
Or this ferryman character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
And what they did with Katie, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't really see the hanging. We just saw them, like, grab her and take her into a room. Mm-hmm. But apparently they hung her in her closet, which is fucked up, man.
Yeah.
For a little girl, that's what you... Oh, you're nasty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we see what's going on now. This ferryman character isn't what or who he claims to be. He's some kind of a fucking deity or whatever, and he's the soul collector is what's happening. Epps is like, oh, fuck, we got to stay away from that dude. So now she comes to and she's like, okay, we gotta get going here.
She wanted to tell Murphy.
Yeah. Well, she wanted to tell Murphy, but then she came across that weird glass tube that was filled with water and Murphy's dead body is just floating in it.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, they put Murphy in there because he was going crazy.
Right. But who filled it with water?
Probably a ferryman.
Well, I would assume so. Yeah. I guess that would make sense, wouldn't it? It's weird that it was all of a sudden filled with water. We glazed over that, was that there's at some point, well, after Murphy gets hammered, he goes into like some kind of a weird psychosis where he thinks Epps is ferryman, so he starts trying to kill her. And
Santos.
Was it Santos?
Yeah, because it was like, you can't leave me. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he starts trying to kill Epps, thinking that she's Santos.
Right.
And then everybody has to jump on him and get the knife. They knock him out. And in a very House on Haunted Hill move, they throw him in the weird chamber, which ends up filling with water. That sucks, man. Murphy's out of the equation.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're down to Epps, Dodge, Munder, and Ferryman, who is out to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to get to Dodge and Munder. On the way down there, she comes across Greer's dead body. She's like, oh, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Gets down there, finds the dead body. Well, the pump gets clogged as it's as it's choking out the water. So, again, Dodge and Munder do a paper, rock, scissors, and Munder's like, oh, fuck it, I'll go down there. So he gets a scuba gear on, goes underwater to fix whatever's clogging it, and gets eaten up by like the gear thing.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. Yeah. Fuck that. Ugh. That's why I don't mess with like heavy machinery.
Mm-mm.
I don't want any part of it. If I'm lucky, I'll lose a finger.
Lucky,
and that's not the luckiest. Yeah. Worst case scenario, my necktie gets caught in there and I get shredded or some shit.
Right.
Nasty. So yeah, he's out, but she goes down there to check on him and she just like sees his face at the bottom of the engine room underneath the water. So, oh fuck, he's done.
And the tube fill up with blood.
Yeah. Blah. Gets back to the bridge, talks to Dodge on the radio. She's, she's like, hey Dodge, there's something not right with Ferryman. If you see him, fucking don't let him go or whatever.
Right.
And she goes back down to the cargo hold, leaving Dodge and Ferryman there on the bridge. Ferryman pops out. He's like, hey, I'm going to go check on Epps. And Dodge pulls a shotgun. He's like, you're not going anywhere, dude. And then he shoots Ferryman in the chest because Ferryman gets all sinister all of a sudden. He's like, you're weak. You're worthless. You're a piece of shit. And he's like, yeah, keep talking. And then he comes at Dodge again, and Dodge shoots him in the chest with a shotgun. We don't really see what happens after that other than we cut to Epps, who is like now setting C4 charges because she now has the full scoop on this boat.
Right.
It's like harboring lost souls. And the only way that any of this is going to work is if she blows the whole fucking thing up and then all the souls will get to go to the great beyond or wherever. That's cool. So she's down there setting the C4 charges and then Dodge shows up. He's like, hey, what are you doing? Blowing the boat up. She's like, well, this is a weird kind of a fucking trap for souls, and we have to blow the whole thing up to set them free.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you can't do that, man. I want my gold, and I want my my money, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, too bad I'm doing it anyway. And then he just morphs into Ferryman. So we have to assume at this point that Ferryman got back up after the shotgun blast and did away with Dodge somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Ferryman's like, hey, here's the deal. I'll let you live. You let me have this boat, and we'll go our separate ways. And she's like, yeah, I don't think so. And we get a little bit of a struggle between those two. He, like, knocks her into the water, knocks the detonator out of her hand. a little bit of a tussle. Then she pops out of the water with a spear gun, and she's like in a very Rambo-esque mood. Yeah. She's got the spear gun, and he's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me with a fucking spear gun? And she's like, no. Then she turns and shoots the detonator, which falls off of the scaffolding. She grabs the detonator and blows the whole fucking thing up. Somehow she survives that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Sinks the Antonio Grasa. She like comes across like some luggage or something floating, so she gets to live, and she climbs on the luggage, and then she sees the Grasa sinking, and all the souls are like swirling around it and going up to heaven or wherever, and she sees the ghost of Katie, and she's like, bye. And she's like, bye.
Yeah, she helped her get out of there.
Like, yeah.
This way.
Yeah, very cool. Very happy ending there. And then we see her passed out floating on the suitcase, and another ocean liner comes and picks her up. And then in a little postscript, we see her getting loaded into an ambulance, and a guy that looks just like Ferryman getting on board that cruise ship.
Right.
Carrying the boxes of
wasn't
gold.
Wasn't it her whole crew?
That's what I thought, but I can't say for sure. It kind of looked like him, but it didn't look exactly like him.
Okay.
I don't. You could be right, or I don't know. That's pretty much your ghost ship there, buddy. What'd you think of this one?
I liked it.
It's a good show. Yeah. I like it. It's pretty much the Event Horizon.
Right.
And yeah, it's the Event Horizon on the ocean, which is fine. I liked Event Horizon too.
Yeah.
Good show. Not my favorite out of the Dark Castles, but not the worst by a long shot. Ghost
Ship. I really liked it.
Did you? What was your favorite part?
The beginning, the whole line snapping across everybody.
Nasty, dude. There's a lot of weird stuff going on ships, like just with riggings and things like that. A lot of room for accidents, and people die on those things all the time. Just getting knocked overboard, nobody knows about it. Just keep going. Fucking weird, like gears grinding people up, stuff like that.
No thanks.
Weird. I was on the LPD, the USS Dubuque, for 6 months.
Wow.
I mean, you can't. That's like a Vietnam era ship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of weird stories and dark corridors and stuff like that.
Wow.
It gets pretty creepy, especially at night out on the ocean, because there is zero illumination out there. Just you and the stars, and that's about it.
Wow.
And it doesn't take long for you to start, your imagination to start playing tricks on you. Ooh, what is, thought I saw a fucking monster over there. Whoa, it's Cthulhu. Shit. Cthulhu. Especially if you're 17 years old and you've seen too many horror movies. All right, kids, let's take us a little break and we'll get back with some other stuff, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of the show. We like to do a little something we call the Terradome Tournament.
Hell yeah.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. Dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face, with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terradome.
First, last week's winners. In singles competition, we had... Oh, who the hell was it? Creature from the Black Lagoon versus the Predator. Let's see how that ended up, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
The creature's anomalous skull structure made it a worthy trophy. Its amphibious and predatory nature made it a worthy opponent. The battle itself, however, proved less than challenging. A quick laser blast from a concealed position, and it was all over with a vote of... Oh, Christ. 12-3. The Predator advances over the creature from the Black Lagoon. Shocking. In teams competition, we had the Silent Hill Nurses versus the Home Invaders. Gunfire rang out, followed by the scream of agony. By the time anyone built the nerve to peek into the entryway, danger had passed. The lights were back on, the nurses had vanished, and what was left of the would-be invaders was piled in a bloody heap at the bottom of the stairs. With a vote of 13-2, the Silent Hill Nurses advance over the Home Invaders. not blowouts, no. But pretty friggin' close. Let's take a look at this week's matchups. We are in the Asylum Conference. No, the Inferno Conference. Yeah. Round 14. Started off in singles competition. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing stuff. Death's design is infallible. When your time is up, there is no stopping it. Not fate, not toughness, not will to live, not even medical technology or biomechanics can stand in the way. Dr. Wesker was not convinced. Neither were the doctors from the Umbrella Corporation's Nemesis Project. In creating Nemesis, they'd succeeded where religion had failed. They'd resurrected dead tissue for the purposes of military application. Several dead bodies, piecemealed out and patchworked together, updated with advanced weapon systems and body armor, and finalized with artificial intelligence that would give Umbrella Corp total control. Nemesis was now fully online. But death could not be denied. It had already claimed the bodies and souls of the people used to create Nemesis, and now it wanted them back. Such an affront to such a pious institution as death could not be tolerated. In singles competition, we have Death versus the Nemesis Project. I hate to do it, man, because I'm not a fan of the Final Destination movies, but I got to go with Death on this one. Because it's, I mean, really, what is it? It's a series of unfortunate events that usually leads to somebody's demise.
Yeah, it's going to get you one way or another.
You can't really put a bullet into it. I'm going with Death. What do you think?
I'm going with Death also.
It's two for Death?
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever.
But what do we know?
I just don't see how Nemesis can pull that one out. It's not even really a thing. It's just a series of events. Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. Let's take a look at the team side of the house. Again, we are in the Inferno Conference, round 14. They'd been lost for almost two full days now, wandering the woods of West Virginia looking for help or an interstate or anything at all. Tim and Lorna had gone missing on the first night, never to be seen again. That is, except for Chuck finding Lorna's ear a few miles up the trail. Then it became evident that the rest of the group was being hunted. Cackling from the nearby brush, arrows flying through the air, and the group is forced into a death race through the woods of West Virginia. At the end of the third day, they find themselves on the front porch of a mysterious and very secluded cabin. They take shelter and begin boarding up the windows and doors to keep their pursuers at bay. Chuck explores the basements in search of weapons, but emerges with a strange book, artifact, and a tape recorder. Hoping to gain some information on who is hunting them, the group pours into the books and plays the reel-to-reel tapes. In team's competition, we have the inbred cannibals versus the deadites.
I see a good battle on this one.
Me too. I think this one could really go either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and take the inbred cannibals. I feel like the deadites rely on a lot of scaring people and shit, and I don't think the inbreds are going to take that at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you think about the Evil Dead movies, there's a whole lot of yelling and, oh, we'll swallow your soul, swallow your soul.
Right.
The Hattiger brothers don't give a shit about that. Mm-mm. They're going to capture you and chop you up and eat you. Taking the cannibals. What do you say, buddy?
I'm going for the cannibals as well.
Very cool. That's two for the inbred cannibals over the deadites. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the weekend, mates. In singles, we have Death versus the Nemesis Project. And in teams, we have the Deadites versus the Inbred Cannibals. As usual, get us your votes by next Sunday if you can. The mental health hotline is 775-378-20075. I should probably write that down somewhere.
867-509.
It's definitely not that. It's 775-387-0275 or the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. In the meantime, how about a little what are you looking at?
Yeah.
I got a few things to report this week.
What are you looking at?
Mm-hmm. Buddy, what do you got, man?
Wow. I've been working so much, I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot. So this week I watched an episode of Bitten.
Okay.
That's
the female werewolf show, right?
Yeah, she's the only female werewolf.
I have the book that's based on. Is the show any good?
Yeah, show's actually pretty good.
Right on.
Yeah, it took me after the first episode. I think I got into it the second episode.
Looked very Twilight to me.
Yeah, not so I can see that.
A little bit, maybe.
A little bit, maybe.
I don't know.
It's not bad, though.
Right on.
And a couple more episodes of Zoo.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
I got to watch Cell from 2016. That's the recent Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It varies widely from the book. I read the book also. The ending is a lot different in the book. I wish Monica was here because I know she's seen it too.
Yeah.
Weird cell phone signal makes everybody hyper aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you get kind of a zombie apocalypse type situation, minus the zombies. Not bad. But if you read the book, then you're probably going to be disappointed by the movie.
Okay.
And if you watch the movie, then you should probably read the book. Because then you'll be pleasantly pleased with the book.
All right.
Ending is very different. I will say that. Since we did The House on Haunted Hill last week, I watched the sequel, Return to the House on Haunted Hill.
And?
It's still not good, but I wasn't nearly as mad at it as I remembered being. It's you get a lot more Jeffrey Combs in this one.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Vanicott, he makes more of a thing. But they go into that weird the house is alive situation.
Oh, right.
They take it a little too far, if you ask me. They, like, get up into the house and they find, like, a heart, like a giant heart room.
Oh,
and it's got
wow.
this. It gets very silly. But there's a lot more boobs in this one.
Oh, well, that's good.
Serena Vincent also. Not her boobs. You get other
really?
Boobs, unfortunately. I prefer hers.
Yeah.
If I have a choice of boobs, I'm going to vote for Serena's, but the chicks that played the nurses were pretty hot, too.
Okay.
Lastly, I watched Plan 9 from 2015.
What is
that? You guessed it, buddy. It is a remake of Plan 9 from Outer Space, the Ed Wood classic. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Yes.
Argued to most by most to be the worst film ever made.
Uh-huh.
This one is, I mean, it's a remake of the worst film ever made.
So it's probably better.
I like it. Here's why. Made by Ed Wood, who had some sexual identity issues. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen Glenn or Glinda. Weird cross-dressing situation there.
Hmm.
This one was action-packed with boobs and blood and gore and a little heavy on the CGI.
Okay.
But I feel like if Ed Wood was alive today and you gave him, I don't know, a couple $1,000,
mm-hmm.
this is exactly the movie that he would make out of Plan 9.
Okay.
So in that regard, I feel that it was loyal to the source material and to the director's intent. But at the same time, Plan 9 isn't a very good movie.
Right.
Just fundamentally. Like, just the script, the story is kind of wacky.
Okay.
So is this one.
Hmm.
But if you're in the mood for it, then I guess it's basically boils down to zombies from outer space.
All right.
And that's basically what you get here. So,
okay.
If that's what you're in the mood for. It's worth, if you're a fan of the Ed Wood classic, it's worth checking out, I'd say, just from a remake standpoint.
Hmm.
That's my opinion.
They did it justice.
I would say so. I would definitely say that.
Right on.
All righty. Let's get ourselves into some immersion therapy then.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the honeymoon.
Immersion therapy.
Talking about Honeymoon.
Yeah.
What'd you think, man?
Interesting.
I dug it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Number of reasons. Number one, it stars the two stars of two of my favorite shows, Game of Thrones and Penny Dreadful.
Oh.
What's his name? Harry Treadwell? He plays Dr. Frankenstein in Penny Dreadful.
Really?
Yeah, and Rose Leslie plays a wildling woman in Game of Thrones. Unfortunately, she doesn't last that long. She only makes it like a season and a half, I think. But that's actually pretty good in Game of Thrones lifespans.
Yeah.
Most people don't make it that long. I like that. I like the atmosphere and the building of the tension of the movie.
Yeah.
Because you don't really... I still am not 100% sure what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
I know she got real ugly. Fast there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is her? What is that, meth?
Right.
That's the worst meth ever, if that's what she's on. Holy shit, man.
Internal meth.
Oh, God. What happened there? What are we saying? What do you think? Aliens, probably? She's an alien?
I would say aliens. Like, yeah, because the whole beaming light situation.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Do you think
she was... But the branch, though, I mean, that was kind of weird.
That was very strange. Do you think she was an alien the whole time, or...
No.
She got there and got the...
Well, once she went outside, you know, he found her out there. I think that's when it all happened.
The first time.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm out of there. You know what I mean? Wife starts acting weird, getting weird bumps on her legs.
Yep.
All right. We can go back to the city now. Yeah.
We'll pack your shit. Let's go. We'll
find a Best Western with a free continental breakfast.
Yeah.
Instead of staying here with your ex-boyfriend who is clearly trying to get in your pants. And these weird lights at night, middle of the night. Forget it.
Yeah, and him pulling that tree rope out of there. How long was that?
Holy bejesus. What are you doing putting that up there? That doesn't go in there.
Right? No wonder she didn't want to have
God.
Sex.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. It's all kinds of fucking stuff up in there. Forget it. Get a backpack or something.
That's right.
Very cool. Overall, I liked it. I think it was a good show. Yeah, I like the atmosphere. Again, mm-hmm. we're back at the cabin in the woods.
Right.
And this, I think the overall stigmatism of the cabin in the woods is kind of what we encountered there in Mind Games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, because you're going to a fucking cabin in the woods.
Right.
There's one reason to go to a cabin in the woods. Your parents won't let you have sex in the house. That's it. That's the only goddamn reason.
Or parties.
Yeah. Or if your wife fell in love with a cabin in the woods and now she wants to get married out there. That's it. That is it.
Yeah.
If you're in college, get a hotel room
mm-hmm.
or just the backseat of a car. You can find a better place to have sex where there's no demons, weirdo mind things, or aliens that are going to put boat ropes up your girlfriend. Or
yeah.
Just stay out of there.
And apparently, they only wanted women out of the movie, too.
Well, I would too if I was the alien. Get these dudes out of here. All right, buddy. What do you got for us this week?
All right. So this week, let's check out 2013's Banshee Chapter.
Very cool.
It's written and directed by Blair Erickson, and it stars Cadia Winter, Ted Levine, and Michael McMillan.
Ted Levine.
Yeah.
You recognize that guy?
Yeah.
I'd fuck me.
Yeah.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
That's right.
Very cool. Check that out, inmates. Let us know what you thought. We'll do the same and compare notes next week.
Absolutely.
Hey, inmates. Darian here. This just in, apparently Banshee Chapter has been removed from Netflix and therefore will not be this week's Immersion Therapy. Instead, we're going to switch it over to We Are Still Here from 2015, written and directed by Ted Geoghegan, I think. This one stars Barbara Crampton, Andrew Sinsing, and Larry Fessenden. So check that out instead and let us know what you thought. In the meantime, well, fuck, man, there's no Miss Monica to educate.
Educating Miss Monica.
Yeah, I'll have to ponder that for another week.
I'm just going to think about those clues for another week, and I'm going to throw out a question. We've talked about it before, but we got a lot of new listeners now,
mm-hmm.
and it's a changing landscape out there in the horror film multiverse.
Yes.
Who is the hottest woman in horror films, do you suppose? Ooh. Ponder that. Get back to me next week. You do the same, inmates,
mm-hmm.
and we will discuss. In the meantime, let's put this one to bed with some athletics action.
Yeah.
The Company of Wolves.
Booyah.
Yeah.
So I'm down another 3 pounds.
Nice.
From 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, just don't make a fucking pig out of yourself. Right. That's all there is to it. It's actually not that hard. You know what? I have been eating a lot of?
What?
Almonds.
Really?
Yeah.
That fattening?
It is. Well, here's the thing, man. And I'm getting back to that book that I read.
Uh-huh.
The worst thing about fat is that it's called fat.
Right.
Your body needs fat. That's what keeps you, that's where you get your energy, and that's what keeps you moving, you know?
True.
The thing is not to overload on it and to keep moving around, you know? There's good fats and there's bad fat. You don't want trans fats.
Right.
Fatty acids. You don't want, what do you call that? Saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that shit tends to just stick.
Stay.
Yeah. Right. Can't get rid of that. Before you know it, you got these things on your sides down here.
Good old love handles.
Handles. I don't know who named them love handles, but I can assure you that nobody is holding on to this
say that,
at all. No, ever. Never. No. Myself included. It's gross. I'm trying to get rid of that shit. Dude, just don't, you know, take it easy on the carbs, obviously, mm-hmm. and try have some nuts. They're filling. I walked right into that one, didn't I?
But up.
Take some nuts with you, you son of a bitch.
These nuts.
They're filling, and they're pretty good for you. And the thing that I'm noticing is that I get busy at work, and I don't have time to stop and eat. And then when I do have time, I make a filth pig out of mm-hmm. myself at Taco Bell. That's my downfall right there. Put some nuts in the car and some jerky, and I'll take my nuts, too. You've got a lot of growing up to do, my friend. And, and then when I get hungry, I grab a handful of my own nuts, put them in my own mouth, and I'm good to go. You're disgusting.
I didn't say a word.
And, then I don't get as hungry, and then when I do get a chance to eat, I don't have to, get two double XL burritos. I can only have one. And then now I'm down like Well, I think like 8 pounds in total.
That's good.
Since I started. Real good. So that's something to look into, inmates. In the meantime, though, I think we're about to call it an episode. Buddy, you got anything else for anybody out there?
No, have a great week.
You too. And join us next week for 13 Ghosts, inmates. So, for Buddy, Miss Monica in absentia, and the Padded Room Podcast, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Yeah.
Padded Room Radio, you're on the air. Hello?
Yo, yo, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear us? Hello?
Absolutely, man.
All right. Beautiful.
How are you doing, man? You right?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I was going there in America.
It's going well. How is things in Saudi Arabia?
Nice to hear that. Saudi Arabia is all right, man. We still found some difficulty with the people and politics, but we still do all right, man.
Okay.
All right.
That's cool. That's very cool. Do you watch any horror movies over there?
Yeah, I do, man. My cousin is a producer.
Really?
And a filmmaker.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, he studied in L.A. Graduated from Los Angeles and in New York Academic Films University, I think, like that is name.
Very.
But, yeah.
Very cool. Has he worked on anything we might have seen?
I like comedy. I just graduated at this moment and just need a lot, you know, need a lot of money
to
produce his own film. But he works for, he worked like the student works, and it's not like, you know what I mean?
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's not like that professional work, but just like a student like assignment and just signed it and it's done.
That sounds cool.
Why not, man? Try to. Do you like your filmmaker or like kind of?
Yeah, I've made a. We made a short film.
Wow, that's cool, man. So we just get his name, and you can find him on Facebook.
Sure.
You can be in touch with him. Maybe you can work together. And maybe you're gonna make the best movie in the world, man.
It could be.
Who could knows? Be.
We'll check him out. What's his name?
His name is Tariq Al-Mukati, T-A-R-I-Q, Al-Mukati, A-L-O. You know what? I'm going to send to you after this call. I'm going to send to you his name. Or maybe he's a Snapchat.
Okay.
Get in touch with him on a Snapchat. He's going to be my friend.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll look forward to it.
What's your favorite horror movie?
Tell me about yourself. What do you do?
We do a podcast. You guys have podcasts over there?
Wow. Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah, man. But broadcast, what are you doing? You're doing BBC, Sky, some official channels, or like your individual work?
No, it's on Podbean, and we discuss horror films.
Well, all the best, man. Who knows, maybe you're going to find and create your own channel.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your favorite horror movie?
No, man, okay, I don't like it. I like kind of action, comedy, but horror, I don't like it, seriously.
Okay, very cool.
All right.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
No, it's not like a... Yeah, my pleasure, man. Nice to meet you, and all the best for you guys.
You too as well, my friend.
For the first time, click my heels and dance with the heat rise.